Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Resistance Radio. My name is Joseph Bernard, sitting here with myself and Mr. Russell Hood, who is here with us tonight. Oh my gosh, my mind went blank. But anyway, I have to do a special shout. Virgil, he's going to be a little bit late and everything, and hopefully Miss Hughes will call in and stuff. I know she just did a live video feed, and I was watching that. I was very impressed and everything. But we do like to say hi to all of our listeners and to our newer listeners, if you guys like to call in, our number is 917-889-3890. And we're here on this Tuesday night. And I tell you what, there's been some interesting things that's happened and everything. And I do got the chat rooms open. So if you guys want to hop in on chat rooms, they can't get that open. Finally, I figured it out. All the liberals are screaming and jumping up and down for joy because they think they got Trump right now and everything because of the verdict. And this still has nothing to do with the Russian investigation or anything. So, You know, and then also they found that Tibbetts woman that was kidnapped and found out that she was murdered by an illegal alien from Mexico that was undocumented and stuff. We'll be talking about that a little bit later and everything. But, Russell, what did you think about the verdict?
Well, man, I'll tell you what, it's been an interesting day and stuff. And on the way home, I had a chance to listen to Mark Levin, who everyone known as a constitutional attorney and has argued before the Supreme Court and served in the Reagan administration. So the man's well-versed in law, and he went on to say that this stuff that the liberal media is losing their mind about, there's been no laws broken here. By the president whatsoever. And the way he explained it, which was easiest to follow.
Just turn off. It won't work. Go ahead. I was talking to my son. Sorry about that.
Okay. You know, basically what happened here, probably the easiest way to explain it. Okay, let's say I was running for Senate. Okay. And seriously, I've thought about it just because I kind of like to know what I did in my 20s, but I digress. So I'm running for Senate, and I'm a rich guy, and I like tooling around in my Maserati. And I said, well, you know what? I want to seem like I'm one of the regular people, one of the working people. So I go and sell my Maserati. And I buy me a, hell, I don't know, Toyota Corolla or something like that. And, okay. Well, he did that, and it was perfectly legal, and he did it to affect the election, all right? And this is where it becomes kind of a thin line and stuff like that, which is exactly what Trump did. And I've said this 1,000 times, and I'll repeat it 1,000 more times. I don't care who Trump slept with. I don't care how many affairs that he had. I didn't hire him to be my pastor. I hired him to be our president because I knew he was a man who could bring us back from the brink of disaster. So that being said, though, and, you know, I don't care if he did sleep with Stormy Daniels and Miss McDougal, bro. I mean, shoot, man, dang, a porn star, he should probably get extra points for that. But anyway.
Right, right.
What he did.
Well, he was a Bate billionaire. I mean, you know, come on. The guy had money.
Women, you know, women throw stuff at him. But the point is that it's the same as, you know, non-disclosure agreements. It's done every day in the business world. You go, okay, well, you know, I'm running for office, and this guy's saying that there's some debt from this job or that job or whatever like that, you know, and just to shut him up, let's just pay him off and get a non-disclosure agreement, all right?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and that is all that
we do got a caller in, Russell. It's a government, looks like a government number, but we got a caller in here, so let's bring him in or her. Hello, caller. How you doing?
Yes, sir. Pretty good. And you?
Oh, good, good. So,
yeah.
So go ahead.
Since you're talking about world news at one point, you know, we just have had hit 7.5 Venezuela. We had 8.2 Fiji just 3-4 days ago. And we have still a shaking 6.5 Vanuatu. And we have Japan shaking, Indonesia shaking. I mean, India is in the water. Indonesia is underwater. Half of United States is underwater. We have fires around the globe. Do you know why? And now it's west coast of United States from Vancouver to Baja California is setting off an earthquake of 7 to 8 7.8 right now.
Right.
We are, I mean, right. It's very possibility because you see, 8.2 it happened across from it. You know, it's close to Hawaii, and we are 2,500
right.
miles away from Hawaii, and then Venezuela 7.5 range, and so these are all interconnected, and the reason is very clear because the deal of century is going to come to Israel next month. The deal of century is called the peace treaty between Israel and Palestinian. For somehow, whenever we want to divide Israel, and you know, is their God's land, you know, and so all these things happen around the globe, and it's, we had had a full moon, full blood moon, and a full eclipse of the moon, and then we had a partial sun eclipse about 10 days ago.
Right. I think me and Russell, Virgil, we talked about this not too long ago, about how all this is lining up with all that disasters and stuff going on, you know. And it's like you were saying, we got the hurricanes going on right now in Hawaii. And, yeah, there's fires all over the place, earthquakes, and, you know. And these are the signs of Christ. I mean, I strongly believe it, you know, because even the Bible said the earth is going to be on fire, you know, and you're going to see, you know, major disasters and everything for when he we know for his coming and everything. So, and I don't know, what do you think, Russell?
Well, you know, it's hard to deny, you know, what you're seeing going on around the world. I mean, we've got volcanoes erupting, earthquakes, fires, the whole nine things, you know, and, like you said, it also said the world would line up against Israel, and through the UN, that has pretty much happened. There's a lot of things that point to where, you know, scripturally speaking, we could be approaching the end times, you know, if not already in them to some extent. I mean, like the call, well, you know, look at all the persecution you have going on around the world. And I'm talking about towards Christians and stuff like that. Nobody's standing up for them. You have all the genocide going on in Africa, on the African continent, against white farmers and that sort of thing. Evil is prevalent throughout the world right now. I mean, we don't have to
like the gentleman was saying earlier, too, look at Venezuela. I mean, they're pretty much in starvation right now, too, and everything, you know. They're pretty much in ruins at this point and stuff, but, you know, and everything. But it's like, you know, to me, I believe we are, because, you know, now there's, you know, talks of wars right now. We're in that part of it and everything. And, you know, I do believe that, you know, we're not in the end times, but we're in the middle of the beginning of it. I strongly believe that, you know.
That could be very, very possible. Go ahead, Colin.
Yes. Regarding the deal of century to be unveiled next month, newspapers reports Trump peace plan to be unveiled during president's speech to UN General Assembly in September. We see the Trump administration will unveil long-awaited Middle East peace plan next month, according to the report, the Palestinian Authority newspaper. The plan, which President Trump has dubbed, called the Deal of Century, will reportedly unveil during Trump's speech in UN Assembly on September 25th. The plan was drafted by U.S. Special Envoy to Middle East, Jason Greenblatt, and Trump advisor, son-in-law, Jared Kushner, which is a Jewish. A recognition of Jerusalem as Israel capital last December. So the Trump administration peace proposal, claiming it was coordinated with Israel, and last week Jason Greenblatt wrote in the Twitter account, "No one will be fully pleased with our proposal." So whenever we come and divide the nation of Israel, God sends fire, earthquake, floods, and
divided nation,
like the United States is a divided nation. Either you love the Trump or you hate the Trump. There is no middle ground anymore.
Yep, exactly. It's like the Bible states too, that anyone who is against Israel is going to be destroyed.
Right.
You know, exactly. And we do got another caller. We have another caller, so let me take this real quick. Hold on here.
Sure.
Hello, caller. How are you doing?
How are you guys doing?
Doing well.
Pretty good. Thank you.
All right. I'm Joe. I'm from Montana.
Mm-hmm.
And in my opinion, we've been in the end times since the Neanderthals crawled out of the cave. The way our DNA has been arranged, there's always been conflict in the world. And the world is inevitably going to destroy itself because people want to have power. There'll always be Stalins and Hitlers and the rest of them. So to me, that's not a surprise. And I want somebody to give me an answer about Israel. Israel's supposed to be our greatest ally in the Middle East. What have they done to earn my $3 billion worth of taxpayer dollars per year?
Roger, you want to answer that? I mean, Russell, you want to answer that one?
As to what aspect of being the sole democracy and basically Christian nation in the Middle East, they bore the front of a lot of the aggression. They stand between us and Iran. And as far as it's hard to say specifically. They are a very strong ally and have been since the creation of Israel. And while I can understand, you know, maybe what you feel about that or whatever, I don't have any problem with my tax dollars going to Israel. I do have problems with it going to other countries that still burn our flag and that kind of stuff.
I don't want our tax dollars going anywhere but inside the United States. And until somebody, and nobody's given me even five examples. I want five examples of how this nation is worth $3 billion worth based upon the premise that they're supposed to be an ally who is supposed to be helping us in the Middle East. What do they do?
A third of our budget each year goes to basically welfare. Okay, now you can say the same thing about that. What have these people drawing this welfare done for us as a country?
Exactly.
Nothing.
Exactly.
They're leeches.
Look,
you know,
you're right.
I mean, I'm a Christian, and you know, I understand your question, and to be honest with you, I'd have to dig a little bit.
You know what? Nobody knows the answer.
Head.
Yeah, I've asked Jews the answer. They don't know it. Nobody knows the answer. The only reason why people come up with this line is because people have read about it in the media. When the media says they've been our biggest ally, well, for me, if you're going to be my ally, you have to have my back. Now, I don't know what Israel's done to have our back. And besides which, our particular continent of North America,
I could only say this, sir, is that, you know, with Israel, they have helped us with terrorists, with Islam down on that part of the, you know, region, helping us take
them
out.
They've helped themselves with terrorists. We've helped them with the Iron Dome. What have they done for us? Nada. Nothing.
Yes, let me answer this gentleman, please. Yeah, first of all, you know, since the birth of Israel, you know, they have, you know, Israel is surrounded by Islam, which are infidels, and they want to kill everybody in the world. And we have many infidels living among us right now, because, you know, the ones that they want to kill us, you know, they live among infidels. I am infidel. I'm proud to be an infidel. So what Israel has done, you know, to really kick the ass of ISIS, and,
what they've done is protect themselves from Jordan, Saudi Arabia, and the other surrounding countries. Now, I empathize. I empathize with them, because when you take a look at where they are on the map, you've got to say, holy shit. Look at
you know, exactly. You know, they are a democracy in there. What specifically have they done
for
us? Probably not a whole lot, but they the Mossad is very, very active intelligence agency. And we get a lot of intel from them on things. And,
maybe.
My biggest thing for Israel, and I know a lot of people are going to lose their mind when I say this, but one of my biggest things for Israel is that the Bible says that that they are the chosen people, and anyone that stands against them, you know, will fall. And that's, you know,
well, I understand
level,
that.
That's about all I need.
I understand
that
from a biblical perspective. But the thing is that anybody who stands against any nation is eventually going to fall, because this whole globe is going to fall eventually.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, you
that's
know,
what,
I
and that's what the other
that,
gentleman
you know,
was talking
about.
But I mean,
about
Idaho. Let me ask you: you are from Idaho or Montana or etc. Do you remember that the Muslim refugees that raped the 4 years old girl in the elevator? Did you know that? And then Chobale, there is a yogurt factory in Idaho. It's called Chobale or something like that. I forgot exactly the name.
Yes.
And they hire all the Muslim refugees over there. And yet, you know, Idaho is becoming a state of ISIS right now.
Mm-hmm. The thing is, what you're saying is against Muslims, which I can give you a better, you know, even better examples. There is a Muslim who has a video out, which is very interesting. She's she believes in that Muslim is a peaceful religion, and she's been preaching that for years. But she has put out on this particular video, I forget her name, and I forget the name of the video, but it's very interesting in that. Do you
Islam
know
is
that,
not a peaceful religion. Don't tell me that. Please, I
okay,
am...
Okay, but let me finish what I'm saying.
Let him finish what he's saying.
The thing is...
Sure, go ahead.
She's saying that in a poll taken amongst, let's say, almost all the nations of the world, when it comes to the people who belong to the Muslim religion, over 50% of them, now the core of them, sometimes I like maybe 3 or 4% of them, are these radical Islamists who want to kill everybody, especially the United States and Israel. But 50% of the other Muslims who are not violent, they support the radical Islam philosophy. In other words, if there's somebody in your neighborhood, a Muslim with a gun, and he's going around killing people, the rest of the Muslims are going to let him kill the people.
Well, exactly. The only difference between a radical Muslim and a moderate Muslim is a radical Muslim wants to kill you, and a moderate Muslim wants the radical Muslim to kill you.
Yeah,
I mean, you know, let's be honest, Islam is not a religion, but we should not be blind. It is a geopolitical murderous cult.
There you
but
go.
Getting back to your point, you know, you're talking about $3 billion that goes to Israel, which is a nice sum of money. And, you know, what we're getting for our money, as you said, I don't particularly know. I know I do know we get a lot of good intel from them of what's going on in that part of the country. But other than that, I couldn't tell you anything else.
Do you know?
But if you want to look at you want to look at wasted money, that $3 billion going to Israel is a mere pittance of what is wasted by our government on a yearly basis.
Yeah, and
yeah, can
you,
say
and
something
if you know about global...
Can I say something?
Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead after you, go
okay.
ahead, please. Yeah,
if you know about governmental economics, we don't even have to have one penny's worth of debt. The Federal Reserve has this debt program. They're in charge of the currency. There is no economically viable way that an institution which is free from Congress and free from judicial review, which has power over the currency, it should be allowed to raise currency through debt, in other words, through bonds. We do not have to have it. So anything that the government does that goes anywhere is always going to increase the debt, no matter if it's good or even if it's bad. And I'm not for money going to Saudi Arabia. I'm not for money going to Germany. I'm not for money going to France. Let those countries take care of themselves. Let us take care of ourselves. Oh, and by the way, Israel is also responsible for stealing our intel, not just giving us intel. Do you know that?
Well, but come on. Every country around does that. I mean, that's part of the way the government operates.
Yeah, but they're our allies. An ally doesn't do that. So they're not worth $3 billion, is my point. They're not worth 10 cents. We help them. They don't help us. They don't give us intel.
Okay. Alex Jones. It's my turn, if it's possible.
Go ahead.
It's my turn now. Yeah, Alex Jones said 911 was done by Mossad, by Jewish people. And so, I mean, what do we get from that? That's why Alex Jones was banned right now.
Alex Jones
didn't
say that
because
9/11 was done by Mossad.
Yes.
Stop it? I know Alex Jones. Give me
that
a break.
You know, we all know that 9/11. We all know that 9/11 was done by the Islamic terrorists.
It wasn't done by them either.
Well, it was actually done. We know it was done partially done by our own government too.
When you have planes, look. When you have our
planes,
when you have our planes up in the air,
his voice. He said that 911 done.
On his videos. He has said that 9/11 was an inside job for the last 10 years. Jesus Christ, you been?
We actually talked about this last week on our show. Well, here we go. This on our show last week, and I agree with what this guy is saying. You know, where the point that he's going with this is that when you have these planes hitting these buildings,
they were up there for 45 minutes. Now, over New York City now, remember, New York City, Tokyo, Moscow, et cetera, all the major capitals of the world, they're all major league protected by their own air force, their own missile defense system, et cetera. So here's New York, one of the best secured, protected places in the world, and you've got two planes in which their transponders have been out of order, can't get in contact with the Air Force controllers, can't get in contact with the civilian controllers for 45 minutes, and a plane is allowed to zoom by the World Trade Center on the first pass, go by the nuclear reactor on the first pass, make a hairpin turn that most pilots, 99% of most 747 pilots say they could never have made that particular turn, come back, and hit the World Trade Center without a plane up in the sky from NORAD? Now tell me.
Not one plane, but two planes.
Two planes.
And then look at the Pentagon. Pentagon. You know, I had a friend of mine who called me. She worked in the Pentagon when that went off. She called me right after it happened, and she said it sounded like a bomb going off. You know, and I'm like, well,
there was no way a plane hit the Pentagon. There was no debris field. None. That was a missile strike. And I don't care how good of a pilot you are, you're not bringing a plane in that low to hit a building any debris field.
There was
nothing.
Yeah. There was the footage.
There was the footage
of UFO over the Twin Towers, and then the theory is the UFO picked up all the people in the distress because everything went down, you did not find even one piece of bone or piece of teeth or something or piece of computer, nothing you haven't found. Everything that UFO picked up.
From what location? What location are you talking about?
One thing I found very interesting about this whole thing is what have we done for the last 16 years? For the last 16 years, we've bombed the shit out of 8 Islamic countries, sent thousands of our boys to their deaths and stuff like that. And the one country that was actually responsible for it, Saudi Arabia, we're still best friends with those dogs, baby.
Yeah, we give them $3 to $6 billion a year, too. Yeah. For what?
Prince Bender.
Well, they've got to be well funded enough to continue to rob us.
We've made deals with them since Kissinger. Kissinger made a deal with them that as long as they, because the Saudi Arabia was in charge of OPEC at the time, they still may be, as long as they were pumping out oil or controlling the oil, we would protect them, but they had to sell the oil in petrodollars. That was the deal.
U.S. petrodollars, yes, sir.
And if they
getting back to your point about the Federal Reserve, that has been a blight on the American nation since its inception. That has got to be. I don't know. I can't even say that anymore with what's going on in the FBI and DOJ right now. But is by far the most, one of the most corrupt organizations around. You look at it stuff, and you, me, and everybody else out there who's working for a living, we are nothing but collateral to the Chinese against this proposed debt. That's how we are. We are collateral. We are worker drugs.
Well, yeah, everybody, you're right. Everybody on this planet is like chattel for what I don't have any smoking gun proof, but I'm going to give you an opinion that I think it's probably the Rothschilds along with some other very, very rich old families that own the entire world. Because it's like
You are 100% correct.
Yeah,
because
I think it's like the movie Network. Everything is owned by corporations, and the Rothschilds, through dummy corporations, have their members.
I am mad as the hell.
Have their members.
I cannot take it anymore.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Have their members.
You said movie Network. Yeah. Go ahead, sir.
They have their members on the board of directors, but you can't trace them back unless you really are a very good investigative reporter. But so they
You can't even do that. They have gotten so good at covering their tracks that they are practically ghosts as to their family and how far their families reach and the wealth reaches and all that kind of stuff. But yes, you're spot on. You're spot on, man. And this is what the big push is. This is why America has to be broken. And this is why they're pushing the conflict between Russia and the U.S. and that we're the last two nations standing between them and having this, whatever you want to call it, one world government, new world order, whatever like that. And that's why it is absolutely necessary to bring this country to its knees. And had Hillary been elected, we'd be well on our way.
But
let me, to be politically correct, I have to correct my statement. We have many Muslim people right now in our beloved military, Navy, Army. They are giving their life for this country. We are not. Those people, their rights are, I mean, they're totally different. I mean, we are not including those into the conversation. We are only talking about those people that are against our constitution and they want to bring Sharia. Those are
we are talking about.
No, because we have many Muslims, doctors, engineers, lawyers.
Middle East, there are a lot of good Middle Eastern people that come from there that are very good people and that sort of thing. But if they are Islamic, if they are Muslim, if they follow the Quran, they are inherently evil. Period.
Well, but
yeah, that portion I agree with you. I have no problem with that. Well, but we know that many of the good ones are with us. Actually, they give us intelligence. They give us work with us.
In every race, in every ideology, in every religion, there's going to be good people and bad people. But the reason, but the reason why I brought up the Muslims is because of this particular video. I should give you guys a name. I should look for it on my computer, and it's very convincing. How, again, there was a poll taken amongst different countries, and they had asked the Muslims, and again, they don't want to pick up a gun and shoot me, but they sure don't mind if my neighbor picks up a gun and shoots me. But
that's what Russell was just doing.
I know. But if you want to compare religions, I was brought up a Christian, but when I take a look at the Bible, now most of you guys on the line, if not all, are going to be Christians. But there's going to be a whole bunch of proverbs and passages in the Bible about, you know, kill thy neighbor, kill the prostitute, and, you know, kill the infidel itself in both the New and the Old Testament. So I'm against religion. I happen to believe in Christian values, but I don't like institutionalized
religion. Okay, I have a question for you.
I agree with you. I'm the same way. I don't believe in religion, but it's like Christ just wants you to have a relationship with me. Even he's against religion. He wants you to have a relationship.
I'm on the very same page. I'm on the very same page as you are, Colin. I do believe in God. I do believe in my Creator. But I, as an individual, have zero use for, and I'm going to put this in parentheses, religion, because religion, whether it's Christian, Catholic, well, I guess that falls under Christian, Muslim, Hindu, whatever you want to name the religion, key word there, has killed more people than every war dictator in the world.
Oh, here's another interesting stat for you. Talk about killing people more than wars. I'm going to give you like a little puzzle. What has killed more people than wars? What's the major cause of death on a planet?
It's religion. Religion is opium of the masses.
No. Wrong. Go
Christianity.
Ahead.
Christianity.
Nope. Okay, here's a good one for you. It's called democide. Do you know what that is? That is out. That is the governments of the respective nations killing their own people. More than war. Than plague.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Isn't that amazing? Take a look at Stalin and Hitler. Stalin killed 40 million
Stalin
of his own people.
Hitler, Mao Tse-tung, Pol Pot.
Yep.
Look
at what Duterte's doing in Philippines. Look at what they're doing in Indonesia and Malaysia. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What the Philippines is problem is? Because everybody take it on and say to the other neighbor that you are a terrorist, boom. They kill it. It's like John Wayne or John Wayne, make my day. You know, so that's not
that
right
was,
either.
Dirty hand.
You know? I mean, yeah. So that's not right either. That's
was Clint Eastwood. By the way, that was Clint. That was Clint Eastwood who said, "Make my day."
That's right, Dirty Harry.
Yeah, yeah. Clint Eastwood. Sorry. Beg your pardon. Yeah, yeah. You're right. But it's not right either. It's not right. It's not right. If you want to do that, if you want to do that, then we can do that. I mean, or you,
right.
You are the white, or white black. You are T.
Let me ask you something there, Montana. We seem to be on the same page in a lot of things. What was your impression of Trump before the election, and what
Hated
is your
him.
Impression of him now?
Love him.
Okay. Well, you see, I was not a Trump supporter in the primaries. I was not. What really bothered me about him is, well, I'm a Southern guy, and, you know, the only thing I thought was liberal Yankee just can't be good for the country. So
right.
In the primaries, I did not vote for him. And in the election, I voted against Hillary Clinton.
Yeah.
And, and let me tell you, I'll be the first person here to tell you I couldn't have been more wrong.
Me neither.
I am absolutely amazed at what this man has done.
Isn't it amazing?
And not only has
yeah.
he done this, but he has done this fighting the media, the Democrats,
and
the Republicans.
Republicans. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And can you imagine if he had any support
where
he'd be right now?
Oh, he'd be on Mount Rushmore right now.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And he should listen, and you guys should listen. Our guest that we have here, Miss Hughes, she's a big, big part of the walkaway movement, and we made her an honorary host member of our show, because I tell you what, her voice is very powerful. If you don't know who she is, she actually ran up against a governor up in, I think it was Georgia, didn't she say, Russell?
Yes, it was.
Yeah, and everything. Yeah, she's a very powerful voice speaker and everything, and to listen to her, she actually voted for Obama and everything. And she said what made her disgusted was that, you know, seeing everything going around her and everything, that made her switch her opinion and everything about Trump. And she decided to go with Trump. Well, now there's about 35 to about 50% blacks switching over to Trump.
Well, they should. Because number one, he may be a racist, but name me a president who's not a racist.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Oh, we got all kinds of names on this show. We've been called everything.
Yeah.
You know? But it,
so, I mean, if he's a racist, then please let everybody else be a racist, because he's
all right. Right.
You know what?
And
it
I tell
is,
you,
that's
like, I tell everybody, you know, I've told everybody's called me a white supremacist. I'm like, really? I go, I'm not even white.
Yeah.
You're calling me a white supremacist? I go, what are you? I go, I'm half Native American and part Spanish.
Yeah, well, it's always been, it's the economy stupid. But nobody wants to follow that particular dictum, because these Democrats in particular, they want to or do not care about America. They want to destroy it or don't care if it goes down the tubes.
And it's all for one world order. That's what they're doing.
Yeah,
for.
That's right.
For control. You know,
and
this is going to surprise you too, but I had a Muslim friend of mine that I've known for a long time. He voted for Trump.
Well, I mean, some people
you know,
are, you know, can actually take a look at the economy or take a look at politics,
right.
And you know, and say.
And he's not radicalized and stuff, but his part of side of the family is. But he got away from all that, and he's a very good friend of mine, you know. And I'd actually trust him in my life, you know. But he's
so
like,
you eat chili kebab.
Yeah.
Did you eat chili kebab, sir, or not? Chili kebab,
yeah.
Rice, and chicken kebab. Have you ate with him?
Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of Muslims that are switching over, and there's some, you know, there's some Latinos, a lot of Latinos and Mexicans that are switching over to side. I mean, there's a big movement going on, you know.
Well, there
and
should
there
be
a lot of people. Yep.
There should be.
They're
finally
waking up.
Yeah. It is
yeah.
the economy. stupid. If you make the economy good and people get jobs, mm-hmm. that's all we want. We want jobs, good families, good neighborhoods, mm-hmm. The nice white picket fence. Leave us alone, and we're fine. But no, the Democrats, mm-hmm. the Schumers and the Pelosi's and the idiots on CNN, they all want it. They're the ones who are creating this division.
Mm-hmm.
It's not Trump.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, no,
oh, this has been going on way before. Way before,
yeah.
Tom.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, the press has become just straight propaganda, right?
Oh, yeah.
But if you'll notice, when the real uptick in that started was in 2011. Since 1941, it might have been 46, but propaganda had been banned. You know, you couldn't
mm-hmm.
put out any propaganda or anything like that. Well, when Barack Obama signed the 2011 NDAA Act,
mm-hmm.
or the NDA Act.
NDAA, right.
Yeah, he took that ban off. And what have you seen for the last 7 years?
Disaster.
The left-leaning, the socialists
yep.
have just taken
but
off.
But what do you think
what,
of
absolutely
today?
Absolutely no repercussions for it now.
Michael
mm-hmm.
Cohen was admitted that he had forgery for 8 counts. What do you think about the other guy? Manafort. What do you think about that? Do you think Trump is going to fall apart? I mean, he it sends every direction. He's from the woman. I mean, he says he doesn't pay the woman $450,000.
Oh, yeah, well, Trump,
yeah.
Trump, you know what? Trump's a liar in some regards, but it's his personal family thing, and it's between him and Melania. I don't like the fact he cheated on his wife. I'm always against people who cheat on their wives and their husbands. It does show a lack of character. But when you take that lack of character and you compare it with what he's done for all Americans, and there hasn't been a president in our lifetime who has received as much criticism, ugly criticism,
mm-hmm.
as this
But here's
man.
A catch. Here's mm-hmm. a catch. He wasn't president then. This was like 20 years ago when he did this.
Well, true. But, I mean, he may have, you know, but still, I'm not a fan of people who cheat on their spouses. You work it out, and you stay together, or you don't work it out, and you leave. But you don't go around
mm-hmm.
cheating. But that audio of him when he's talking about where they say he says grab the pussy and they try to make a big deal out of it, he
mm-hmm.
said if you are a celebrity, you can grab the pussy and they'll let you. He didn't say
yeah.
every man should go around grabbing pussy. He
right,
didn't say
right.
that.
Yeah, well, I know that.
I saw the video.
Fresh
stuff. Do you guys talk like that? No. You don't
yeah,
talk
everybody,
I don't like
everybody,
everybody
women,
talk like that.
Everybody
kidding?
Does. Everybody does. Even women. Women are just as bad as men when they talk like that.
You ask
I know.
Your girl, ask your girlfriends and ask your not your wife, but you only have one wife. But ask the friends. Ask your girlfriends. I don't have to be your girlfriend, but your girlfriends. Do you have husbands and boyfriends who have talked about women like that? They'll say yeah if they're honest. All men do
mm-hmm.
locker talk. It's locker
mm-hmm.
room talk. That's all it is.
Yeah.
That's all it is.
So the women talk like that too?
Where have you been, dude?
Yeah.
Right.
They do.
We got to go on a fast break, but you guys hang in here and stay on. And we'll be back here in about, I'm going to say 10 minutes and everything. So we got to do this because the FCC. But we'll be back here in about 10 minutes and stuff, and we'll continue this talk.
I go party time. I come back in a few minutes.
All right.
See you. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
With you again, because
was a vision softly creeping, left its seeds while I was sleeping, and the vision that was planted in my brain still.
out a field day for the heat. 1,000 people in the street, singing songs and a carrying sign. Mostly say hooray for our side. It's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Your life, it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. We better stop now. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going on.
And welcome back to Radio. My name is Joseph Bernard. He's sitting here for Tahuti and Mr. Earl. He's just tried to call in and hung up, so he's having issues where he's at. And if you just joined us, we do welcome you on the tonight show. And I'd like to do a special shout out to Johnny Dempsey, who's listening in up there all the way in Atlanta, Georgia. We're coming in clear up there. And also to our listeners, give us a call, 917-889-3890. And also enjoying this conversation we're having and everything. So, but hello.
Howdy. You having mic problems again there, Joseph?
I might be because I moved a little bit. But anyway, I'll tell you what, you know, there's been some things going across on the talk we're having right now and everything. And, you know, it's some good common sense. And also, I wanted to mention that the five terrorists that stand here in my home state of New Mexico, they formally have been charged with murder, and they're still being held without bond and everything. And also that they're investigating as to why the compound was torn down under the judge's. That's under investigation as we speak and everything. So I'll keep you all informed on that. And as you know, that compound was 35 miles from where I live at and everything. So, but and the reason for them not being released, because nobody here in the state wants it. And you can't blame nobody. You know?
I thought somebody was released on $20,000 bail.
They were, but because, you know, he was supposed to be on an ankle bracelet, they can't find any place to house him because nobody wants to take him because of the high risk factor.
Yeah,
you know?
Oh, okay.
And everything. So they're all five being held.
Good.
So and everything. So, and stuff. But, you know, it's ironic that the judge herself ordered the compound destroyed.
Well, for one thing, for that type of accusation of murder and the training of children in order to shoot up schools, an ankle bracelet?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't really.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's what we were saying. That's what the whole state was saying. Everybody, I mean, even New Mexico is pissed off about that, you know? And it's like, well, you know, and what's ironic too is this judge isn't from New Mexico. She's from California.
Yeah.
She don't even. She don't. Yeah. She don't even. She don't even live here.
Why don't you just give the guy a passport and say, "Come on, United Airlines, and happy trails." Of an ankle break.
Right.
You think if somebody did house him, that at the around 12 midnight he might try to break that ankle bracelet off and go run into the next airplane?
Right.
Jeez.
Well, we know that's what the plan. Well, the DA up here was expecting too, because they fought very hard on. They fought very hard, you know, so and everything.
Well.
But,
mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
Your other caller was going to talk about Manafort, I think. Isn't that something, the way they're trying to press both Manafort and Cohen? And that Judge Ellis, he's spot on. That guy is saying, in the Manafort case, what you're really trying to do, he's saying to the prosecution, is squeeze him so that he can rat on Trump, which is what they're trying to do.
And there's nothing to rat on.
But you've got to understand, this is a way that they have been allowed to operate for decades. And I've touched on this some, too. I mean, as far as the Department of Justice or the FBI being anything about justice is decades past. Once they started, actually, when they really started going after the mafia about several decades ago, you know, it kind of became, all right, well, you know, we can't get him, but we'll get this guy, and we'll put the screws to him, and if he doesn't know anything, we'll have him compose something, you know. Maybe
right. And what's ironic, about this, too, the last several days, you know, CNN and some of these other liberal media has been trying to get the jurors' phone numbers and addresses so they can post it out there to intimidate them.
Now, isn't that something?
You know.
If that isn't a clear sign of people who are trying to be against not just the First Amendment and the Second Amendment, but against America in general, putting jurors' lives at risk, what business is it of theirs to post the names and addresses and phone numbers of jurors in a trial like this?
Right. And all that sends is like, you know, if you guys do this, we're going to post your number after if you don't find him guilty.
Well,
That's a threat.
Mm-hmm. Where do they find people like this? Do you know in the universities that there's not one, I think it's something like one out of 25 universities actually has staff members and professors who are the majority Republican? Only one out of like 25 universities. The rest are these liberals, which, of course, are based upon the Communist Manifesto. Now, when people hear that, they think, well, you're kind of crazy. Well, if you take a look at the transcripts of the House Un-American Activities back in the 1950s?
Early 80s, 90s, 50s, somewhere in there?
Was it the 50s?
Early to mid-50s, somewhere right around there.
If you take a look at those transcripts, you will be shocked by how, even then, communists infiltrated the government, Hollywood, and American culture. Holy shit.
Well, I mean, you know, you think about it. You read anything. You can read Mein Kampf. You can read Alinsky's Rule for Radicals. That's what these people have adopted. You watch from where you're talking about the 1950s to how we got here today.
And here's the latest on Pelosi that I was reading today too, was David Hogg told her to move out of the way because he's stepping in. Did you ever hear about that one?
Pelosi,
I didn't give a shit less about David Hogg.
David Hogg. The Parkland.
He told Pelosi to step out of the way because he's stepping in and taking control.
17-year-old guy who's 15 minutes should have been over 14 minutes ago. And
Right. You know, so, but I was laughing when I saw that. Like, wow.
Well, Pelosi ought to step out of the way. She's literally insane. Have you ever seen her videos where she actually believes that she's talking to, what's her name? Susan Anthony. Have you seen those videos?
Oh, yeah, I've seen that. I've been reading articles on it. She needs to be locked up somewhere.
She kind of go into a rubber room because she is literally insane. She's not channeling Susan B. Anthony. This is during the Bush era, too. She was there in a room with Bush in one chair. She was in one chair. And then she said she's talking to Susan B. Anthony, who's right there sitting in the chair. So she's talking to a ghost, and she's thinking people are believing her.
Mm-hmm.
And then she's up at a pulpit, and she's, I don't know if it's a campaign speech, but it's one of those speeches. And she again mentions that she's she talks to Susan B. Anthony. Well, somebody locked that bitch up.
Well, I think George Soros has something to do with that. You know, they were married to each other at one time and have kids together and everything. And it makes you, you know, it's like, wow.
Is that
right?
I didn't know that. No.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I just keep digging a couple of years ago and found out that they were married and they got, I think, 2 cents. And everything. In fact, Chelsea is married to his nephew, whose nephew is her something son or something like that, if I got it right. But it's interesting how it all relates back to George Soros.
Soros and Pelosi were married at one time?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. They were married for quite years, quite a long time.
Oh, that explains a lot of shit. No kidding.
I've never heard that.
Me neither.
I'll send you some reason. I'll look up George Soros and Nancy Pelosi. They were married and everything, and I have 2 sons and a daughter. Why do you think she's in there? That's why she's in that position she's in.
Well, then the only thing good you can say about George Soros is that he got rid of that loony bin.
right. But, you know, I was shocked when I discovered that. I was like, wow, I didn't even know that, you know, and everything. But, you know, it's all connected. The Clintons, they're connected to Soros. I mean, you know, Chelsea's married to his nephew, Zuckerberg from Facebook. That's his uncle.
You're talking about, I thought you were talking about Zuckerberg.
Yeah, Zuckerberg from Facebook. That's George. He's the nephew of George Soros.
Was it Soros or Kissinger? Is it Soros? Oh, okay.
Soros. So George Soros. They are.
No kidding.
Likin and they are related. Yep. Yep. So that goes pretty deep. You know.
Yeah.
But maybe, you know, I get curious. I start investigating things. I pop things up by accident, and then I'm sitting there scratching my head. I'm like, what the heck? It's like, I don't know if you heard in our show in the past, but I'm the one that actually discovered Uranium-1 a couple of years ago. It was the very first one that broadcast this out, because I was digging for some things for Loy Finicum before he was murdered and stuff, but it was over the land rights. I went digging into the clerk's office on online and everything, find out his landowner near his ranch. It was Harry Reid and his son. And it was over the uranium and everything. I was did some more digging, popped it up, and it popped up.
Now, wasn't that something about Uranium-1, how 20% of our uranium can go right back to Putin? Amazing.
Everybody wants
to talk about Russian collusion.
Yep. I was just ready to say that, but it was scary, but, you know, I started getting afraid for my life there for a while and everything, and I still am a bit, but, you know, that's the reason why they forced Harry Reid to resign, because of all the evidence that popped out, because he bought all that land around the ranchers, and only piece of land that was standing in his way was the bank ranch and Finnegan's ranch. It's all that uranium ore that's there.
How about that?
So, and everything. So it's and I got the boy interested in it. He started getting involved in searching and listening to this stuff too. And I think that's what got him killed.
Well, yeah, I mean, especially if you take a look around about the statistics involving the Clinton crime family, something like 31 deaths in a number of years, including bodyguards, friends, journalists. You can't say, you know, Trump was taking his life into his hands the way he was treating Hillary, but he didn't care. You know, lock her up.
Right. happened the same way. I'm like, I don't mean, because everybody was like, aren't you afraid that you're going to get a bullet in the back of the head? I said, no, because actually I do got some things saved after. If anything happens, it gets released.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I got audio clippings of inside the compound when I did live interviews with the occupiers inside the compound. And I got all that. I got pictures of Hillary's instruments.
Mm.
From Bleedwater.
Yeah, well, they're a piece of work, those two.
Oh, yeah, you know. That's how far deep it went. And Espresso, did you ever read that article that Oregon newspaper wrote about me and Loy?
No, I haven't had a chance to. I've been real busy.
All right. Well, you get a chance, read it. It's a good read. I had to sit. I didn't even know they wrote about me till one of our friends had showed that to him. I was like, I was very impressed. I was like, wow. You know.
Oh, is that right? You better watch out. You're on the radar.
Right. Right. So, but, you know, this fight. Still, yeah, Hillary Clinton's running free. You know, everybody's involved with Jeff Sessions. He's, you know, involved with uranium. He's still free, you know.
Yeah.
Poor Mueller's linked to it as well, you know. But like the president said, give it, just follow the plan. That's all in the plan. So, you know.
Well, I just hope that Trump is playing 4D chess, because I know that when this particular guy was running for office, I kept saying, oh, please, God, no. But I didn't. I sure as hell didn't want Hillary, you know.
Right. Well, actually, yeah. We were all shocked. It's like, they were expecting him to win, and it was like, you know, you could tell everybody was tense, and they were, you know, it was like, I was waiting, go ahead already, Dad. Give the results. I was ready to throw my TV out the window.
Yeah,
you know?
Right.
That's how I was like, come on, Dad. But it was a shocker. But, yeah, of course, elections were rigged in her favor because, you know, they had everything printed out. They had New York Times printing all these articles out and all these other things for her. They had to track all that back, you know, and everything. But we saved ourselves. Yeah, we actually saved ourselves. Because I guarantee you, if she would have won, all of us would have been lined up putting FEMA camps in shot.
Yeah, eventually. Oh, yeah. You know. And not only that, I mean, that Americans would probably be lining up to in order to go into the FEMA camps. They wouldn't be resisting it. They would think it's a new Broadway play or something sponsored by the government.
Right. And they still have plans for that. I mean, you know, that's what they're still wanting to do for us once they get this world order under control. And that's the other thing. We upset their plans with that.
Yeah.
You know, that's why they're off that we disintegrated their plan for one more order. That's why George Soros is throwing the temper tantrum over. You know,
I'm looking up Pelosi's background. There's nothing in there about her marrying Soros. So they've done a good job of hiding that. I like to know how they did that.
I got it saved somewhere if I can find it. If you can add me on Facebook, William Bernard, add me and I'll send you a link to her. I know I got it somewhere safe, and I'll find it and I'll send it to you.
All right. I'm going to be contacting you on Facebook because I'm not on social media, because I've known for years the NSA has always been tracking us, not me in particular because I'm a nobody, but tracking us.
Right.
And I wasn't about to, you know, give my information now freely to just any Zuckerberg.
Right. That's one of the things we won't do. We won't do anything like that, you know, and stuff. And it's like, because, you know, we hit all the time on our radio show. You can ask Russell. We've been shut down. The government tried to shut us down, hack us down. You know, we get attacked constantly, so we know what it's like. So, I do keep confidential, private, so I won't give anything out. That, but it's like, you know, it was a shocker. Actually, I think if you Google it, Google was Nancy Pelosi married to George Soros.
That's what I did. And then I'm at a Wikipedia, and I'm trying to. I put in the search engine Nancy Pelosi and George Soros married, and I got a lot of different sites, but none of them so far are talking about it.
Right. Right. There was an article I don't believe about her and Mueller having an affair 15 years ago.
Oh, I can believe they had an affair, but in Wikipedia it says that she's been married to Paul Pelosi since 1963. And then there's an article
about George. I know, I didn't imagine that.
Well, I mean, anybody can write anything. You know,
they've been seen together too quite a few times.
I mean, she will kiss anybody's ass for a few bucks to maintain her campaign slush fund. So, you know.
All right, all right. So looks like we lost Russell. So Russell, I hope he calls back. But yeah, I agree with you. You know, but it's like and got digging deeper. So I saw, they know each other and there was photos of them together.
I'd like to know how Soros made his money, because that's a long way from betraying the Jews in 1942 to becoming somebody who's worth $20 billion. So I think he's a front man, again, for probably the Rothschilds. I have no proof. I just connect the dots.
Right, and he was. And Butler's right hand man back then, too.
Yeah, well, Kissinger, I believe.
He was one of them.
Yeah, I believe Kissinger was probably the right hand man for. For the United States.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because, I mean, they're not stupid, the Rothschilds. I mean, they've been around for centuries. They know how to do this.
And they could control, they do control half the world because they control, the wars, bombs, weapons, and all kinds of stuff. You know, that's how they made their billions, and everything.
Well, it's like what Myers Rothschild once said centuries ago. He said, "Give me control of a nation's currency, and I care not who makes its laws." And he was the one that loaned gold to Napoleon. You know, I don't know what the interest rate was, probably 30%. And he was responsible for creating conflicts in the world in order for him to get repaid, because that's how he got repaid. Because once you start loaning gold and money to kings, you know, if you lend somebody, a friend of yours, $20, it's hard to get $20 back. So if he's lending millions of dollars worth to kings, how is he going to get his money back? You know, because the king can say, "Well, thank you, now your money's my money." So he does.
Right.
The Rothschilds, they just create wars in order to get both sides to pay him back. So.
Exactly, and that's how exactly. And not only that, they did with the New York Stock Exchange, stuff like that, which they own. A lot of the banks that they own, and everything else too. They own.
In my opinion, any nation that has a central bank, that particular ruler, even Putin, is not in true control of that nation. Or even if they do have some control over that particular country, that central bank is robbing them blind. Think about how our Federal Reserve pays on the average $19 billion a year back to Congress. So if they're going to pay back $19 billion a year, plus they have money which Congress doesn't review because they don't undergo judicial review. That's part of the charter. They must make about 25, 30, 40, 50 billion.
Right, exactly. And that's how they gain control of the population. Of that world and everything, So it's like, we got to stop the thing. That's how George Soros made his money as well.
I mean, did he? By loaning it and. Oh, really? Oh, okay. I don't know how he made it. But when you start loaning money, the politicians are in cahoots with the Federal Reserve, because as long as the politicians create programs which have to be funded, they have to go to the Federal Reserve, which then sells bonds and uses the Treasury to sell the bonds. And then after a while, the Federal Reserve monetizes it by buying up the bonds that aren't being bought up by, let's say, China or the Netherlands, etc. And I think right now in their balance sheet, unless I'm wrong, they have something like $500 billion worth of bonds which they've bought up.
Mm-hmm.
And because the interest
right.
that they pay themselves out of the bonds and the money they made up and printed out of thin air themselves, what a racket. They create the money, create the interest, create the payment, do them, and it's all legal. Amazing. It's absolutely
yeah.
amazing.
Oh, yeah. It is. But if any of us did anything like that, we'd be locked up quick.
Oh, hell yeah.
You know?
I mean, that's, you know, counterfeiters, forget
yeah,
it. So here they
right.
are. They're in control of the currency.
I don't know what happened.
Hmm?
I don't know what happened to Russell, but I'm going to text him right now.
You know, so that's why the Federal Reserve is the most insidious institution in America. They're the ones that are destroying America in conjunction with the politicians, because the politicians,
yeah.
they don't care about the national debt. They go into the
oh, no.
they get elected, they have a net value maybe worth $1 million, and then after a few years they're worth mm-hmm. $5, $6, $7 million, and you have to ask yourself, how did they get rich if they don't have private property, they're not in business, and they're making only about $165,000 a year in salary? How the hell do they
mm-hmm.
go from $1 million to $6 million? Well, duh.
Oh, yeah.
A little bit of money
well,
underneath.
Duh.
You know.
Well, Maxine Waters, great example. How is she doing all this? You know, these men and daughter off. She's getting kickbacks. You know.
You were breaking up. I didn't hear you.
I said, you know, I look at Maxine Waters. She's
uh-huh.
she's getting all these kickbacks and stuff, you know, and everything illegally, funded by some of the Islamist radicals and everything, which, you know, that came out recently and stuff. But still, yeah, she's going away for free.
Yeah, and then the lobbyists, of course. There were books written about lobbyists owning America. There was a book I read years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So who really owns America? It's lobbyists, corporate lobbyists. But who owns
mm-hmm.
the lobbyists?
Mm-hmm.
The, you know, corporations own the lobbyists because the lobbyists are representative of the corporations. And who owns the corporations? Whoever's on the board of directors. Who's on the board of directors?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
People who represent the Rothschilds. Eh. Because there's an infographic that shows that, I think, out of the something like, I don't know, 100 or 100 major companies, there are
mm-hmm.
12 companies that are on all the boards. So if there's
mm-hmm.
12, I think, I'm just making
that's
I'm making
true.
Up,
that's very true.
You know, if there's 12 companies, whoever's on the board of those 12 companies own the rest. So, you know, as far
mm-hmm.
as I'm concerned,
that's true.
It's probably the Rothschilds and the Rockefellers.
Right, right. So, but anyway, you know, Russell said, because he has an early start for work in the morning. He has to get up at 4 a.m. and everything. So, but I tell you what, you know, it's I don't know. It's forever, and I think somewhere Austin's got to cave. Something to cave in. And something going on before the election, you know, and everything. And the way I see it, and the way we predict is that we're going to see a lot of clues pretty soon. What's your thought on that?
Somebody, because you were breaking up so bad, I can only get like once every tenth word.
Oh,
so I think.
My apologies.
No
so
problem.
So what do you think about, you know, with the elections and everything? We were talking about this on a show not too long ago that all hell is going to break loose, you know, and everything beforehand. What is your thoughts on that?
Something's going to break, somebody or something's going to break loose before the election, you said?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I mean, Antifa will act up. There'll be the pro-leftist organized groups funded by Soros who will act up and try to somehow, using false flags, try to persuade the electorate to vote for the leftists. But
right.
I think that Trump is making such an impact that people are going to, the more chaos that will happen, I think will be in favor of
mm-hmm.
Trump, and the Republicans will come in. But I've got a very strong opinion about the Republicans. Now, this is something which I wish I could get through to Hannity or to Limbaugh or to Mark Levin or to Savage.
Mm-hmm.
I would tell them, tell four of those guys, all four of you are fucking idiots. Because here you are, you keep they're conservative, and their conservative viewpoints I agree with, except for their solution. They say, in order for America to keep going down the road of economic prosperity, we have to have vote Republicans. Are you crazy?
Right. I agree with you on that. Even I agree with you on that. That's crazy.
It's crazy. You keep saying that the Republicans are the spineless creatures who are rhinos, who conscripted the Tea Party, who do not keep their word. And it's like being in a hospital and you're knowing that there's only two medical disciplines, right? One is from, let's say, the Mayo Clinic. The other one is from, I don't know, some hospital. And both of them kill people. Both for cancer. If you go to the cancer hospital, no matter what, there's only two treatments, and both of the treatments kill you. But you're going to recommend that you go to the hospital so that either one of these particular doctors and their particular medical theories can kill you? No. But here they are saying, well, the Democrats suck, the Republicans suck, but you got to vote Republicans. What?
Right. May I vote? The way I vote is I see, you know, if I, like, you know, there's some good Democrats, there's some bad Republicans. There are good Republicans and some bad Democrats. But I see what they can do for our country. I see what they can do for our economy. And I see how well they represent themselves, you know, and everything. That's how I try to vote. And everything, and it's like, you know, that's how you should vote. It shouldn't be voting because you're Republican or Democrat, you know, or Libertarian or whatever. Vote for the person that you see that's going to do most for your state or for the country. How I vote.
Right. You should vote track record. Vote individually. Vote for the individual. Mm-hmm. I'm a Libertarian. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you. There's a lot of crazy nuts in my, well, not my party, because I don't pay dues, Libertarian. Mm-hmm. I'm a Libertarian by philosophy, but I'm not a party member.
Mm-hmm.
But I would vote, if Rand Paul ran, I would have, Rand Paul was my guy. But the thing is, Trump's doing a fantastic job. I'll vote for him the next time up. But the thing is, with the Libertarian Party, they have a track record, at least back in 2006 and 2007, they had 700 Libertarians who were elected, and out of those 600 or 700, there was never once, not once, was there a sex scandal or a financial scandal. So at this particular, you know?
Agreed.
So
I
would
that.
Say a Libertarian off the street would be better than a Republican, because a Republican right now, all he wants to use Trump to get into office, he'll break his promise, and then he'll go be a rhino, and then he'll just do the lobbyist bidding. At least the Libertarian.
Right, and that's like we say on the show that the we're seeing all the corruption going down. You know, we're seeing the Democrats, you know, exposing themselves, but at the same time, Republicans are sitting back, just kicking back, sitting down. You know, you're not worried about anything, but you know they're getting exposed too.
Well, yeah, I mean, they're getting exposed by the conservative pundits. They're being exposed by Hannity, by Limbaugh, by Savage, and by Levin in particular. But these four assholes still want you to go out there. They emphasize it. Go out there. And even Hannity has said on his show, even if you know the Republicans are rhino, it's better to have him than the Democrat. I say, you vote for a Libertarian. Vote for a third party.
Right.
Vote for the milkman. Do not vote Republican for somebody who was selected by the party machine, because that guy is going to break his promise.
Exactly. That's like they all do. You know? But anyway, I am going to say this, is that we've got to close the show. It's that time. And everything, but we'll be back on Thursday night. And I hope you can join us. I like you. So I hope you can call back Thursday night and join us again. And everything. And we do come on about the same time. It's about 8, 9 Mountain Pacific and 9, 10 Central, you know, and everything. So I usually get to all that mountain stuff mixed up. I know. So it's kind of confusing sometimes, you know. But anyhow, like I said, Russell had to sign off. He had to go to work at 4 a.m., so he signed off and everything. But it's that time, and enjoyed that talk. I was hoping that other guy would call in. If he's still listening, I hope he calls in Thursday and everything and stuff. And it's good getting some information like this after, you know, and everything, so we can get everybody out there educated on this stuff and everything. So, but anyway, I'm going to say good night, everybody. And we'll see you back here Thursday night and stuff. So we hope you enjoyed our show, and we do appreciate y'all with your comments and everything. I had a chat room open, but nobody's in the chat room, so for the first time I figured how to open it or anything. But we'll have it open again Thursday night. I'll sit here and monitor everything and stuff on that and everything. But anyway, America, we'll see you Thursday night. And to those of you around the world, we'll see you then too. So you all be careful and be safe. And I'm out. And what's your name?
I'm Joe.
Joe? Oh, that's my name too.
But yeah,
I go
right,
by William.
All right.
But all right, everybody.
Everybody
we'll see
be
y'all
safe
Thursday
now.
Night.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Good night.